Good morning, church. So the message this morning is the ultimate salvation. So last week, the pastor took us through a journey of hearing the voice of the Lord. And he said we need to hear his voice. We need to identify the voice of the Lord. We need to accept the voice of the Lord. We need to vet it before we just accept it. We need to prove it that it is the voice of the Lord that I'm hearing. And this morning, I will be continuing the message on the ultimate salvation. So why am I continuing on that path? Because salvation comes through what? Hearing. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about faith. And faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. And you hear, when you hear, it is the voice of the Lord that leads us unto salvation. So we have two Bible passages this morning. The first one, Romans 10, 9 to 13. And the second one, you can note it, Philippians 3, 10 to 12. But if I can have the Romans 10, 9 to 13 first. Romans 10, praise the Lord. Thou, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in what? In thy heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Praise God. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be what? Ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. For whosoever, notice, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Are you ready to call upon the name of the Lord this morning? When you call upon him, he said, you will be saved. Praise God. Let's go to Philippians 3, 10 to 12. Philippians 3, 10 to 12. This is Apostle Paul speaking. He said, that I may know him. Does it mean that Paul doesn't know God before? He knows him. But he's just what? That's why I'm saying the ultimate salvation. There's a point of knowing God. And there's a point of going deeper. He wants to go deeper. That's why he's saying. So don't say he was an unbeliever. He wasn't an unbeliever. He was already saved. Said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just like I said to you, Apostle Paul saying that I may know him is not talking about just giving his life to Jesus. He's talking about going what? Deeper. So by introduction this morning, salvation is God's grace bestowed upon humankind as a proof of compassion. We remember what happened at the garden when our first parent lost the forever life that we were to have. Life, eternal life with Christ Jesus, without obstruction. The sin of disobedience crept in and robbed man of this lifelong relationship. And that was why we needed what? Salvation. That was why we needed who? Jesus to save us. So salvation is freedom from sin unto new life in Christ. Though salvation is a free gift from God, however, you must pay your own part. You need to declare the lordship of the Lord Jesus. And that was why the verse we read in Romans said, whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. For you to be saved, it means that you have to do what? First call on his name. And when you call on his name, confess your sin, repent from them, and turn it over. Then he will do what? He will save you. So if you confess the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ by your mouth and in your heart, and you believe that Christ was risen from the dead just for you and I to be saved, then you'll be able to access some gifts that we'll be talking about thereafter. believing in your heart and your justification. And you are what? Saved by your what? Professional faith. When you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus, and you confess that he's the, you know, he died and he rose again, you will have what? Salvation. When we talk about salvation, it's far beyond being saved from something. That was why I said freedom from sin unto new life in Christ. So salvation is just not freedom from sin alone. It's not just being saved from your sin. It is being saved or to something. And so that something is who? To Jesus. Because without Jesus, salvation will not be what? Will not be complete. So you are not just saved from sin. You are saved from sin. Unto who? Unto Jesus. And that's why the Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him, we have what? Eternal life. You will not be condemned and you will have eternal life. Likewise, let's go to the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Unto good work, which God had what? Before ordained that we should walk in it. Just leave it there. He said, you and I, we are who? God's workmanship. God created us in Christ Jesus. That's why he said, you are saved from sin. Unto who? Unto Christ Jesus. And he what? Saved unto what? Good work, which God has ordained. Being saved doesn't end there. You are saved instantly. It doesn't end there. You need to take your relationship, do what? Deeper, further with God. He said we are his workmanship. We are saved from sin unto Jesus. To do what? Good work, which he has ordained. And the work that we, you and I have to do is what the Holy Spirit himself will guide us unto. So with this in our mind, we can conclude that salvation is a lifelong relationship with God. And that's why we are talking about the ultimate salvation. There is a point that Romans where we read. He said, whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. There is instant salvation. The instant salvation is when altar call is made, or you hear the voice of the Lord, or you hear the word, and you accept that time. That is instant salvation. But it doesn't end there. And that was why Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. If only believing and you have salvation ended and you have nothing to do, then you cannot take your relationship deeper. So when he said we are created unto what? In Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good work. So that good work is what we need to do to deepen our relationship with God. What we need to do to bump our salvation up, to move beyond the instant salvation to the ultimate salvation, whereby we grow our relationship with him. When Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So you need to know God, know him more and more, more and more. There's a song we sing that the more I know you, the more I want to know you, more of you in my life. And that's what we are talking about. The ultimate salvation is to have the more of God in our life and not stop at the gate. Instant salvation is the gateway to the ultimate salvation. Giving your life to Christ, give you the word, it's a path to you living a lifelong relationship. You remember that was the original plan, but the devil knew that if I don't utter this, man will have that. But God didn't stop there. He redeemed. Even after our first parent sinned, he redeemed us so that we can have access to that lifelong relationship. So the ultimate salvation is a salvation that endures till the end. It is different from instant, like I said, that comes from your response to an altar call. No, as many we call it, you know, that you say, if you call on the Lord, you will be saved. But like I said, it provides you a gateway to knowing him more, to developing your relationship. If you go to the book of Matthew, if I can have all of them together so that you don't have to go back and forth, Matthew 13, 18 to 23. That is the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 18 to 23. Matthew 13, okay. So I can go on from here. He said, hear ye. Matthew 13, 18, okay. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. Let's keep going. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth his word away, that which was sown in the heart. This is the one that received the seed by the wayside. And that's why I said your salvation at one point is instant. It's a gateway, pathway to the ultimate. He said the one that hear the word and receive it, and you know, on the wayside. He said, but he that received the seed into the sowing, the one that hear it on the wayside, what do you think will happen? People can just trample on it. People can suddenly forget that, oh, I once had a relationship with God without taking it to what? Deeper. He said, but he that received the seed into the stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet he had not root, a word received on a stony heart, on rock. Can it grow? No, it's hard. It's hard to break into a rocky heart. That's why we need to make our heart flexible. Make our heart of flesh. Because when it falls on it, when you hear the voice, the word of the Lord, and it falls on the rock, it will not have stamina to do what? To grow. Praise the Lord. He said, yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, he is what? Offended. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns. Thorns, we know how terrible they are. Those of us that come from the country that I came from, you know what thorns are. I don't know whether we've seen some here. You know, he said among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this word. How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to feed the children? How am I going to get my job? How am I going to buy a car? How am I going to buy my house? You know, say the care of this word and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he become unfruitful. The last verse is where I'm going to. Can I have verse 23? He said, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some. And hundredfold, and some 60 and 30. Just leave it there. This is where I'm going into. The ultimate salvation is the salvation that leads to fruit bearing. When you hear the word, you receive the seed unto a good heart. You hear it, you understand it. You understand what it meant. And you know, and you bear fruit with it. What will happen? It will bring forth more fruit. The Bible says we should go into the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to bring more soul. So that's why he said we have work to do. In that Ephesians 3 that we read, he said we are in that Colossians that we read, he said that we are God's word, workmanship. We are created for what? Unto Christ. For good works. So God needs you. He needs me. That's why he said in that Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship. I am his workmanship. We are not just saved to occupy spaces. We are not just saved to just sit down and do nothing. We are saved to bring others to Christ. And this will not happen if we ourselves don't deepen our relationship with God. And that's why we are talking about the ultimate salvation. It's a progressive one, accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you continue to grow deeper, studying his word, praying, mingling with other people, come for fellowship, develop yourself spiritually so that you can be able to do what? Bear fruit. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And he said, nobody can bear fruit except they abide in him. Building up yourself in the Lord, developing your relationship, is abiding, attaching yourself. Some of us, we know about attachment theory. Attaching yourself unto him that I am yours. I want to know more of you so that I can do what you ordained me to do. Praise the Lord. God is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Are you ready to be one of them? Are you ready to be one of them? Are you ready to be one of them? Respond, praise the Lord. Don't be deceived. People will tell you, once saved, is saved forever. It's the lie of the devil. If you are saved, you just receive the word instantly. We read it in that parable of the sower. It's there for a reason. You are saved, you just receive the word on the wayside and you do nothing. You didn't take it in, you didn't even ponder on it. You didn't go further to know God, like Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That salvation can be what? Become a forgotten thing. It can become a thing of the past. So don't let us be what? Be deceived. So because if it were so, that, you know, once you are saved forever. The Bible wouldn't have said it in Matthew 10:22. He said, he said that those who stand firm till the end. Matthew 10:22, if I can have it. 10:22. He said, and ye shall be what? Hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that what? Endureth till the end shall be what? Saved. And I said, ultimate salvation is the salvation that endure till the end. Because we are going somewhere. We are not ending our journey here. Praise the Lord. So likewise, Jesus stated that only those who do his will. In Matthew 7:21, he said, not all who call on the name of Jesus shall enter into the kingdom of God. Talking about ultimate salvation is making it to the end to see the Lord seated on the throne. But he said, not all that just call on him. He said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Everybody is permitted to use the name. We enter. But only those who do his will. Only those who know that they are his workmanship and they are doing what God has ordained them to do. Only them will do what? Enter into the kingdom of Jesus. Satan understand that this lifelong relationship, and that was why he fought man at the garden. He won, but Jesus gave us what? Victory again. Say, I have victory in Christ Jesus. You know, Satan knows he wants to abolish. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. I want to show us something. First, before we go there, Revelation 2:7. Revelation chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. Why did man fell? Because they touch what they are not supposed to touch. That tree of life that is there for us, that they were not ordained to touch. They did. Satan deceived them to make them lose what? The opportunity of a lifelong relationship. Now you can go to that Genesis 3:22-24. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. 23. Therefore, the Lord said, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden of cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man was supposed to have access to a lifelong relationship, but sin of disobedience robbed man. But thank God, I didn't end here. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, by which we come back to connect to that lifelong relationship, whereby we can have access to that tree of life. And I pray we will not lose it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is important for us to work out our salvation. When Philippians 2:12, he said, work out, you know, that Philippians 2:12 said, work out your salvation with fear of what? Trembling. You remember you are saved. You are God's workmanship. You are saved unto good work. But you need to do what? Work out your own salvation. The work that I'm talking about is W-A-L-K. When you are working, you are working. And you are working on a work. The work you are doing is maintaining your relationship with the Lord Almighty. So that you can do what? Make it to the end. Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter, if I can have it, chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. I might not read it, just write it down. Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. He encourages us to make every effort to add some. Maybe I will actually have it. Let's have it. 2 Peter, praise God. Chapter 1, chapter, okay. And beside this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, what? Knowledge. Let's keep going. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Mm-hmm. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8. For if this thing be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Those virtues, you know, they are very important. It's an additional word, what we add to our faith. We don't just give our life to Jesus. We don't just accept Christ and have that faith and stop there. And that's why I said it's a progressive journey from what? Instant salvation to the ultimate salvation. You know, if you go to that place we read, from that verse 8 to 9, Peter further illustrates, he said the payoff, that if you have these qualities in increasing measure, it will prevent us from becoming ineffective and unproductive, because God wants us to do what? Bear fruit. Say, go into the word. There's blessing in following through, in building up yourself, in improving your faith every day and every day and every day. Praise the Lord. Can I have verse 9? There's something I want to show us there. Verse 9 of that 2 Peter, okay? But he that lacketh this thing is blind and cannot see afar and hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from his soul, from his what? From his sins. So if you lack all of these virtues, he said that person is what? Blind. There's one version that says, he said nearsightedness. So we don't want to just see something close. We want to see far. God told Abraham, as far as you can see. We need to see afar, not just something close. And in verse 10 to 11, Peter, in that same verse 10 to 11 there, he concluded with a plea. He said, wherefore, rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never what? Fall. He said, if you do this thing, to make diligence, to do all of those things, all of those additions to your faith, he said, you will not fall. For so, an entrance shall be what? Ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are talking about the ultimate salvation, the one that makes us to have a lifelong relationship with God, whereby we end up with him on his throne. That if you abide by all of those things, you add more virtue in your faith and not just stopping at the gateway. Instant salvation is the gateway to the ultimate salvation. It provides you the opportunity to build up yourself in the Lord, to walk the work he has ordained for you. If I can ask you this morning, what work are you working? What are you working on? Who are you working for? When Apostle Paul said that I may know him, you cannot work for who you don't know. You have to know him more and more, know him deeper,
deeper,
deeper. Not just know him on the super surface, know him deeper. No wonder God said to Abraham, how can I do this and not reveal to Abraham, my beloved? If you develop your relationship, move beyond instant to ultimate, you have access to some information that people will not have. I think last week Pastor said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. We have some eyes that see, and it's not that they are blind physically. They cannot see beyond where they are. They are nearsighted. They cannot see far beyond. You need to know him more and more so that you can be able to see him at the end. So when we talk about the ultimate salvation, I've said it, that is what? It is the salvation that endures. That endures trial. He said in the world, we will face tribulation. How many of you are already facing it? We face it daily. It comes in different shape, in different way. But he said that we should not worry, because what? We have overcome. We have overcome the world. We are in the world. We don't belong to the world. The world may hate us. They hated Jesus. Yes. So if the world hates you, rejoice. It means that you are doing something right. But if the world loves you, check yourself. He said you are not of the world. If you were of the world will love its own thing. If the world loves you so much, check yourself. If the world hates you to the point where they persecute you, to the point where they humiliate you, be thankful. It means you're on the right path, and that's how you know you're on the right path. But if you want to, you know, we cannot serve two God. We cannot serve mammon and serve God. It's either you belong to one, you choose. He said, choose you these days whom you will serve. Joseph told the people, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Is it the God of your father or the God Almighty? If you serve the God Almighty and you develop your relationship, he will take you further. Praise the Lord. So what are some of the benefits of ultimate salvation? What are some of the benefits you will partake in when you take your relationship deeper with the Lord? I won't read the Bible passages again because of time, but I will give them to you. 2 Peter 1:11 that we read before. He said, you will have access to eternal kingdom of God. You can put 2 Peter 1:11 there. When you take your relationship deeper with God, moving beyond the instant to ultimate, you will have access to the eternal kingdom of God. And the second one is in the book of Revelation 2:7. It says you will have what? Access to the tree of life. The book of Revelation. Revelation 2:7. Says, whoever who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat what? The tree of life. How many of you want the tree of life? What do you have to do? Your ears must hear. Some ears cannot hear. Children sing this song. Some have eyes, they cannot see. Some have mouth, they cannot eat. He said, I thank God, I have mouth, I can eat. That song I used to love. We used to sing it when we were in kindergarten, you know, from our home country. Some have eyes, but cannot see. And they turn it to some have food, but cannot eat. I thank God that I have food and I can eat. So you need an ear, a hearing ear. The Bible says, when you turn to the right, to the left, you will hear what? A voice, the voice of direction. In this year of swearing like the eagles, Pastor says, do not take a leap until you hear what? The instruction. That's why you need to do what? Have an hearing here. You want to make it to the eternal kingdom of God. You want to develop your relationship with him to have access to the tree of life. You must what? Listen. What is the Lord saying to you this year? Don't just say swearing like the eagles. You need to hear. What are you swearing to? Which area do you need to swear? And the third one, Revelation 2:11, the book of Revelation 2:11, escape from second death. Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Those who miss it will be hurt by the second death. That is horrible. Nobody wants to be it. I don't want to be it. So to take your relationship deeper, the ultimate salvation, you will escape the second death. And the fourth one is access to hidden manna. Revelation 2:17. Revelation 2:17. 17.
He that hath an ear,
let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden word, manna. And that's why I say you need eye that see afar. You don't just need eye that see close. It's hidden. If something is hidden, you need an eye that can see very far, like the eagles, to be able to partake of the hidden manna. And he said, I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saying that he that receiveth it. You want access to the hidden manna. You want to see the white stone with a name engraved on it. On that day we will know what is written on it. Praise the Lord. And Revelation 3:13 said, you will become a pillar in the temple of the Lord. One of the benefits of the ultimate salvation is becoming a pillar in the temple of the Lord. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And we know what a pillar does. It supports. How many of you want to be a pillar in the house of the Lord? And he said, and he shall go no more out. And I will what? Write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. You know, we talk about that name engraved on the white stone that we didn't know. The Lord will write. He will engrave the name of the Lord on you. So you want to become a pillar in the house of the Lord. You want to be a supporter. You cannot be a pillar sitting down. You have to engage in something. A pillar support. How do you want to support the work this year? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And the next point, you will have power over nations. Revelation 2, I won't read it. 26 to 28, you can do a good job to read it. You will have power over all the nations. God called Abraham. He said he will be the what? The father of nations. And he said, the Bible says in Genesis 1:28, he said we should do what? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. That is power over nations. How many of you want power over nations? So you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, developing your relationship. And the last point, you will have divine access to the throne of the Father. Revelation 3:21. You will have access to the throne of the Father. So in conclusion this morning, for you to take part of the blessings of God that we've just mentioned, all this blessing, you know, and you want to soar like the eagles this year, your salvation must endure. All you need is what? Enduring salvation. The salvation that endure. And one of the prophecies this year is that God will visit us by his mercy in our place of service. But that's why for you to have access to all of this blessing, the blessings of God, for God to visit you by his mercy, you must be engaged doing something. So what are you going to do in the house of the Lord? Do you want to be part of the cleaning department? Do you want to drive people to church so they can hear the word? Do you want to be the part of welfare to care for people? Do you want to be part of the holy police, helping people to park very well? There's room for everybody. He said, we are God's workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus. Unto what? To good work. God has work for everybody. The work that you have to work in. When he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the work you have to do is being engaged in the things of the Lord. To be occupied. He said, occupy till I come. Don't let us open up. This in an idle hand, the devil make use. Praise the Lord. So don't stop at the gateway. You need to bump it up to the ultimate. So what is your choice this morning? You have a choice to make. Let's rise up. Are you stopping at the instant salvation, the gateway? Or are you proceeding to the next level? The next level, the ultimate salvation, whereby you develop your relationship with the Lord. Why don't you talk to God? And if you don't even yet have a relationship with God, this is your opportunity. If you don't yet even have a relationship, this message cannot make sense to you. This blessing cannot make sense to you. Your journey begins, even though I said instant salvation is the gateway to the ultimate salvation, but you have to start somewhere. So if you don't yet have a relationship with God, this is the opportunity. Wherever you are, I want to say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I confess my sins before you, and I want you to come into my life and save me, and he will save you. He said, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't yet know him, you have to call on him. If you already know him and you want him to help you to take your relationship deeper, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you. Oh yes, church cried this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord Jesus. Don't be quiet. Don't be silent. Make it your prayer this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, I want more of you. I want more of you. Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you want more of him? How much of him do you want this morning? How much of him do you need? How badly, how urgently do you need him? Cry to him and say, Lord Jesus, I want more of you, more of you, more of you, Lord Jesus. Ramayanda garaba yanda garaba. Ramayanda garaba ba 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 ba. Ah, in the name of Jesus, more of you, Lord Jesus. More of you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And as you have spoken in his ear, so shall he do unto you in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to appreciate you this morning for the word you have sent unto us, the ultimate salvation, an enduring salvation, the salvation that endures to the end. Oh, yes, Lord, we ask for the power, the strength to wait till the end. Release upon us in the name of Jesus. We want to soar like the eagle. We wait upon you, Lord Jesus. Renew our strength in the name of Jesus. As we walk with you, we will not be tired. We will not faint in the name of Jesus. And in your kingdom, we will not be found wanting. Praise the Lord.